TAT. Thoughts are things. Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, Absolute Monastery, School of the Master, here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. TAT. Thoughts are things. Now, we have just finished a beautiful, not breakfast at Tiffany's, but lunch at Tiffany's. And it's been a wonderful adventure. And we were served some rather interesting cookies. And as we were served the cookies, I thought, now that's strange. Ingeborg is taking these cookies and putting jelly on them. And cookies are supposed to be in themselves a nice dessert, really nice. And I said, Ingeborg, why are you doing that? And she didn't have any answer. So I said, well, I'm going to taste one of those cookies. And I took a bite of the straw, and I could understand exactly why she put jelly on it, because it was nothing. There's nothing to the cookie at all. It was just a bunch of straw, empty vitamin. Now, some of you will disagree with me, and you have a right to do that. You're foolish to do it, but you have a right to do it. But I tell you, please, TAT.
Thoughts are things.
If you're going to think that I am foolish, then everything I do is going to be foolish. If you're going to think that I am wise and intelligent and I'm saying things for a very great benefit, then you're going to TAT it. TAT.
Thoughts are things.
You're going to 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 TAT.
Thoughts are things.
And thoughts are things. Now, if Ingeborg were a little more advanced in her TAT, she would look at that cookie and say, you are so sweet, you are so delectable, you are so delicious, you are just the most mouth-watering cookie I have ever seen, you know. And she'd put it to her mouth and she'd smell it, oh, I'm so delighted, and she'd eat it, and oh, she'd say, oh, this cookie is so wonderful. And we'd all look at her and we'd say, a cookie does that to you? My goodness sakes. No, it's the thoughts are things that does that to her. And she truly enjoyed it. Just like the athlete, he registers on the screen exactly what his proneness is on the athletic field. And when he's sitting quietly, going through the same adventure, he still registers the same thing. Thoughts are things. His thought doing it and his action doing it were equal. In fact, his thought doing it was maybe even a little better. This is his thought doing it. He didn't miss a shot. He didn't miss a kick. He didn't miss whatever the moves are that soccer people do. And he did it very well. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I say to you, I would like all of you to go home, wherever that might be. Get out of here. I have nothing more to do with me. If you are unable to realize that thoughts are things. Because if I'm going to teach you that thoughts are things, and then you're going to go around having bad thoughts about the thoughts that I'm teaching you that are things, then you got troubles. You got troubles. This morning, at breakfast, we talked about the white stem cells, the newborn 10,000 baby stem cells born in our brain every day. And I said to you, did you ever tell the brain cells, I'm tired? You ever tell the brain cells, I'm stupid or dumb? Did you ever tell the brain cells that the cookies are not very sweet, you know? Did you ever tell the stem cells any other nonsense? They're going to react on that. They're going to act on that instantly, because their job is to instantly say,
thoughts are things.
Their job,
I'm holding perfect.
And their job is instantly to think,
all is in divine order.
That too. But what do you want from me, Master?
Okay.
Say.
Your wish is my command.
Your wish is my command. The white stem cells, the baby little stem cells that don't know beans from granola, they say,
your wish wish is my command.
Your wish is my command. Your wish is my command.
Your wish is my command.
Your wish is my command. Your wish is my command. Your wish is my command. Your wish is my command. Your wish is my command is what my hands went like that. Your wish is my command is what they're saying. And what they're saying is that we're ready, boss, to go to work to do whatever you say. And if you say I'm sick, then you are sick. And we got 10,000 stem cells that are going to go to work and making you as sick can be. I mean, you don't know what sick is until you let loose those 10 guys. Uh-huh. 10,000 guys going out and telling the world you're sick. Going out and doing all the things that you're sick. And if you're not really sick, they'll make you sick. Now, John, don't answer me, but John, what happens when I say to you, John, I'm going to throw this at you, catch! All your muscles prepare to catch. All your bodily organs tense up in preparation for catching. You're ready to catch, unless you're a flake and you just sit there and say, tuff, you know. And then you're untouched, you know. But most people, they get tense. Why do we get red around our eyes? We have tension, irritation. Why do we cry? Why do we get red around our eyes when we cry? We have tension, irritation. We have all sorts of anxiety. See, that's just one area where the muscles are all tightening up and won't let us operate functionally as a beautiful, harmonious being. Now, if we would say to the food we eat, this food is healthy for my body and filled with love, if we would say that, you know, and really mean it, then it wouldn't make any difference what we eat. We could only eat beautiful things. And if it's good for us, it goes in and we keep it, or if it's not, we dump it. And when we're done keeping it, we dump it. We don't keep it long. We just move it along. Now, thoughts are things. And are you going to go around telling your 10,000 stem cells in your brain that they're to look at the food and judge it? That they're to look and say, oh, this jelly has so much of this in it and so much of that in it, and this jelly doesn't. This jelly, and this is even better. It's popcorn salt. You know, this is even better and even neater. You know, where do we get all that from? Where do we get all those ideas from? All those ideas are parked into our brain by our mamas and our daddies, our aunts and our uncles and our cousins, our peers, our teachers, our world leaders. Do you know the World Health Organization? Mm-hmm. It's a nice name. It's called WHO, W-H-O, World Health Organization. Sometimes they should ask a question. Well, the World Health Organization went to someplace in Africa, and with all of their money and all of their care and all of their doctor, the doctors went in and said, hey, you're sick kids, you're sick kids, and we're going to have to give you this and that and the other thing. So they gave all these kids pills and shots to protect them from the bacteria that was in the water in which they were swimming, that would protect them from the bacteria that they were eating and drinking. And within 1 month, after vaccinizing several thousand children, they all died. They all died because the World Health Organization did not realize that those youngsters had to have those immunity bacteria within them to allow them to live in the environment in which they live. Now, if they had taken them all to the United States in some positive place, that would have been okay. Or Europe or wherever. But they left them there in Africa. They left them in the dregs of the problem that would cause them to die. And so it was. The stench, the filth, the swimming holes that they swam in were where they dumped their garbage and dumped their sewage and so forth. It's terrible. But they're used to it. They're used to it. And then it just floats along. Do you know the Ganges River? The Ganges River is one of the biggest sewer lines in the world, you know. And it works fine. It keeps flushing along. It rains keep coming, keeps going down, keeps going down. But think of up here. You're upstream. You're up by the mountains there where it's coming in the starting there at the beginning of the source. And so you drink the water right out of the stream. It's lovely. Then you come down a few hundred miles, and then you get into large communities, and these communities are dumping everything into it. And then the sewage goes in here, and then they wash their clothes here. You know, it's all done in the same thing. Then you go further down, and then what are they doing? Where the temples are.
They burn their dead.
They're burning the bodies right in the stream, and all the other sort of things that they burn, which is perhaps better than having it decay in the stream. Yeah. But, you see, are those people dying from those problems? No. They're not dying from those problems. Many die, but not from those problems. They're dying because you and I, we with our Western society, go in and tell them that they're living in filth, they're living in poverty, they're living in illnesses, and so therefore they're going to die. And so as we do this, then they die. Now, what's another thing that helps us know that they die? Statistics. We count them. We love to count the dead. And we think that's just wonderful. No. What if we just counted the live people? What if we went around the world just counting the live people? Do you know what would happen? The live people would multiply. But because we count the dead... Now, the Catholic Church loves to count their membership, even who has passed on. The Mormons are the same way. They love to count the people who are members of their church, past tense and present tense and future tense. They must have quite a crowd. But the thing is, they count them. Now, who cares about numbers? They do. And the Catholic Church and the Mormon Church are two of the largest financially sound churches in the world. Because people love that sort of thing. They love all that sort of garbage, and they live with it. Now, I suggest to you that if you're going to if you're going to live a tat-tat life, you're going to think everything is beautiful. You're going to see everything is beautiful. You're going to act as though everything is beautiful. And everything is beautiful. Now, let's just take a situation. Here is somebody with an illness. And they have cancer, let's say. That's always a fun thing. And the cancer is bothering them. And it's eating them up. And then they come and they see us. And they say, oh, University of Healing, oh, Worldwide Healing Ministry, oh, I've heard such good things about you. And we say, what have you heard about us? Well, anytime anybody comes to you with illness, they are healed. And we say, well, that's a rather nice thing to hear, isn't it? So what would you like? Well, I'd like to be healed. Sorry? You're not sick. What do you mean I'm not sick? I have cancer. Yes, you have cancer, and that's just what you wanted, and you got it. Now, what do you want? I want to be whole and perfect. Okay, start saying, I am whole and perfect, and you'll be whole and perfect. But, did you ever do that before? Not really. Start saying, I'm whole and perfect, and you'll be whole and perfect. Done! They say, I'm whole and perfect, and people are taking the count. How many people were healed today? Dozen. They all change their attitude from, I have cancer, I'm whole and perfect. Ha, ha, ha! And they're whole and perfect. Now, are they whole and perfect? Or are they playing a game of whole and perfect? Or is being whole and perfect playing a game? And is the illness a game and whole and perfect the reality? Is the whole and perfect a game and the illness a reality? What reality are you playing with today? What are you doing? So, everyone who comes to the University of Healing and who talks with us is healed as they leave. Is healed still while they're talking to us. Is whole and perfect. Why can I say that?
Because that's all what is.
That's all what there is. Now, if I don't believe that, I shouldn't teach it. If I don't believe that, I shouldn't be talking about it. Mm-hmm. But if I believe that, then I should be giving it out 100%. I should give it out in everything I do. The food that I eat is wholesome and beautiful and good for me. The water that I drink is wholesome and beautiful and good for me. Ellen?
Yes.
When you came here to campus, did you think the water on campus was the most beautiful water in the world?
Holy water.
When we bought the property next door here and put up the embassy there, what kind of well was there?
An abundant.
No, a perfect well.
Okay.
Abundant, perfect well. A well that was ideal. The water, what did the seller say?
It's a perfect well, he said.
He said, I would like to have permission to come up here and get water every month.
That's true.
And we said, you're welcome. He thought so highly of that water. Now, what's the first thing we did? We went out and had the water checked.
Mm-hmm.
We had it done officially. And it was perfect. Not one thing wrong with the well, was there?
No.
Not one thing wrong with the water. The water all checked out. A number one! And then, what did we do? We went out and bought a water purifier. Because we thought that was good for us. And so we built, put the water purifier in, and now we all drink purified water from the water purifier, which takes out all of the health-giving values that are natural in the water from coming through the ground, all the minerals, all the vitamins, and all the corpuscles, and this and that sort of stuff that come through, all the junk, whatever comes through.
Bacteria.
But bacteria, that's right. But that's right, all the bacteria that comes through, all the good things that come through. And we are like the several thousand children in Africa who were given shots by the WHO, the WHO organization, and they all died. And naturally, WHO had a very red face. And we'll never know who it was who had the red face, but who had a very red face. And it was a foreseeable accident, but it wasn't an accident. It was foreseeable happening because you cannot do that. You cannot do that. If any of you have ever been an alcoholic or a narcotic addict, and you got off of alcohol or narcotic, you couldn't jump off of it right away. You could if you were mentally working with me. But if you were doing this with Alcoholics Anonymous and all the others, you have to go slowly off, count the days. You know, I've been off. I've been free of alcohol. I'm an alcoholic, but I've been free of alcohol now 2 days. I'm an alcoholic, but I'm free of alcoholic 8 hours, No, my goodness sakes. If that happened with an alcoholic, and he is so tense and uptight with his alcoholism, imagine what someone would be if you were to take away all of the immunity that they live with. For instance, you're all familiar with the Sherpa people from up in the Himalayas. They take the people up into the Himalayas and go out to Mount Everest and walk up barefoot up the mountain and untouched by this and with light clothing on. I mean, they're like the Bigfoot, and they're just able to do all these things. How can they do it?
Lots of things.
They do it? Exactly. They do it. Thoughts are things. But the thoughts that they have are that they are warm and cozy. The thoughts that they have are like, I'm a bird. Now walking on the freezing ice, and my feet are not cold. See why a bird flies more than it walks? It doesn't want its feet to get cold, no. No, it can walk on the ice. Penguin stands on the ice. It's a mammal. It stands on the ice. It's a bird, but it's a bird-type mammal type of bird. But it stands on the ice, and it holds the egg of its young right in it, and it's in a little pocket in the front here,
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy. It's crazy. And the monarch penguins don't eat while mama's gone. Mama goes to get the food in the ocean, which is miles away, waddle along, and by the time she gets back, the eggs are ready to hatch. But Papa's been holding the eggs in his cold little body because he hasn't had anything to eat, you know. And, I mean, that's the tradition that they have is quite amazing. So, if you were to take that away, say, for instance, you move all the monarch penguins to Africa, to the equator, you know, what would happen to them? Poof, they'd all die. Because they're not acclimated to that, and they're not, the food they need isn't there, and all they eat is fish. All they eat is fish. Who can survive on fish? Well, all they eat is fish. And the Eskimos, I mean, these crazy men and women and children who live up above the Arctic, up above the ice zone, what do? They eat blubber. Blubber. Yuck, you know? And they love it. They love it. And they are very comfortable. And they're all pudgy people, and they don't have any heart problems, they don't have any health problems, they don't have any other problems. They're most amazing people. They live very well. They're the cause of death in over 90% of the Eskimos is what?
Thoughts are things.
Huh?
Thoughts are things.
Thoughts are things. It is an accident, as it is called. It is their misunderstanding of their weapons or misunderstanding of the animal that decided that they wanted to have them for dinner instead of the animal for dinner. So, and that happens. That happens. And then, can you imagine if you're in your little kayak, and we have a nice kayak here, but if you're in your little kayak and you're out in the Bering Sea there, you're out in the ocean, you're out whatever it is, and a wave comes along, slaps you and knocks you over, you roll over, so you come back up again quick, but here you are, oh, an iceberg. and you break out of the ice, and then you know, that's all over you, and then you continue paddling. Just imagine. Now, do you think water gets in their gloves? Do you think they have this rubberized outfit on to keep them warm and toasty inside? No way. They are amazing. They are amazing.
Good creation.
Yes, indeed. Can you imagine Papa coming home and being froze solid, and Mama says, crawl in bed here, you know? He says, glad to. But he's got to get warmed up, you know? And why is it that they don't have frostbite? Because they're warmed up slowly. They're not warmed up quick. And you see, if you start warming them up quick, you'll give them all frostbite. If you start violating the program that they've taught themselves. Now, there are ways you can warm up quick, but that's another story. We have thoughts or things, and thoughts or things are very beautiful. And the sooner we realize that everything we eat, drink, breathe, everything we talk, everything we do is an action of our TAT, thoughts or things, everything that we do. And if we believe in ourselves, we can have the most wonderful. I walk the path, and I just am singing, and I'm so happy, and I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, this is great. I'm so blessed to have a lovely body. No, I'm not blessed. I put the cause in motion, and I got it. And if I don't keep putting the cause in motion, I don't got it. It's going to go away like all things go away from people who don't use them. If you don't use your money, you'll lose it. If you don't spread it around, then it can't be the manure of the ground that brings up other little businesses and other little things. That's just great, you know, just like Hello Dolly said, remember? So you see, this is what it's all about. This is living in the now and knowing that you take out your little rat-a-tat-tat and get your stem cells going with it, and they're up there rat-a-tat-tatting again. Thoughts of things, 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 and you say it, and boom, beautiful things happen. But you're the one. I'm the one that tells our stem cells what thoughts are the things that we are interested in. It's fantastic. And it's very good, and it's who you are, and by golly, I'm a happy guy. I love you. I love you. I love you.